Political London Playbook, presented by Airbus. Last night in Moscow, Trump whirlwind heads for Britain, Brexit white paper. By Jack Blanchard. Presented by Airbus. Send tips here, subscribe for free, view in your browser. Good Thursday morning. Last night in Moscow. 50 years of hurt, England are out of the World Cup after a crushing extra time defeat to Croatia in last night's semi-final. You don't need playbook to tell you, but Gareth Southgate's impressive young side led 1-0 and controlled a game for an hour before they were undone by a spirited Croatian comeback. Those first-half misses from Harry Kane and Jesse Lingard will be added to a pantheon that stretches back through Saul Campbell's disallowed header against Argentina in 98, Gazza stretching in vain for the ball in 96, Waddle hitting the post against Germany in 90 and Lineker failing to make contact for a last-gasp equaliser in 86. As ever, cup football operates on the finest of margins, and last night England were on the wrong side. But this morning nobody is suggesting it's the same old story. For the first time in a long time, an England team have done their country proud. Troll factor 10. Still, here's Martin Selmayr rubbing it in last night. Exactly 1 minute after the final whistle. Plenty of people think the European Commission's top official would love to force a no-deal Brexit. He's certainly doing his best to make it happen. Even Tim Farron started feeling Brexity. Reminder, Selmayr's native Germany crashed out at the group stage 2 weeks ago. After losing 2-0 to South Korea. The view from Downing Street, Chief Whip Julian Smith hosted a party in the Grand State Rooms in No. 10 last night for MPs, aides and their families to watch the game. Among those spotted quaffing lager and munching mini-burgers were Education Secretary Damian Hines, Tory Party Chairman Brandon Lewis, Deputy Chairman James Cleverly, Schools Minister Nadhim Zahawi, Government Whips Chris Pincher and Nigel Adams, Backbench MPs Johnny Mercer, Simon Hart, Andrew Percy, Paul Masterton, Jack Brereton, Luke Hall, Will Quince and Craig McKinley, and many more. The atmosphere was said to be jovial but relatively low-key, with plenty of youngsters present. One MP told Playbook the mini-burgers were, well, perhaps a bit too many. I needed a chicken cottage on my way home, he said. A message from Airbus, the EU is at the heart of everything we do. A cooperation which has helped us grow to be the most advanced European defense and space company. By continuing to work together on cutting-edge innovations, we will ensure Europe's leadership in defense and strengthen the European pillar within NATO. Learn more here. The view from NATO, Theresa May was locked in a summit with her fellow NATO allies in Brussels last night. And the fear of Russian hacking is now so great that no mobile phones were allowed in the room. Instead, a serving British Army colonel was tasked with keeping an eye on the football score and bringing the PM updates on written notes throughout the game. Everyone else at the summit was able to watch the match in a grim-looking atrium that Playbook sources said recalled the spirit of Frankfurt train station, which I'm pretty sure is not a compliment. Downing Street officials and the travelling lobby wisely made a sharp exit and caught the game in an excellent-sounding Brussels bar called the Beer Factory. Leaders watch, unlike Theresa May. The other main party leaders were at least able to watch the game on TV. Jeremy Corbyn was at home in Islington with wife Laura Alvarez. Vince Cable was in a pub in Twickenham with wife Rachel. The view from Strangers Bar, it was absolutely rammed in Strangers last night after opposition whip Mark Tammy managed to secure a big screen for the occasion. He was there along with all the Labour whip's office plus an array of MPs, advisors and family members too. Viewers were packed in like sardines, with some MPs and staffers turning out in England shirts for the occasion. Also decked out in an England top was Jason Ullner from the US State Department, with wife Danielle there too. Impressive work given Ullner is the point man for Donald Trump's visit. The national anthem was belted out by the whole bar, and there was hugging across party lines when Kieran Trippier's fabulous early free kick set England on their way. Spotted, Labour MPs Alison McGovern, Mary Glyndon, Justin Matters, Chris Matheson, Mike Gapes, Phil Wilson, Ian Lucas, Nick Dakin, Richard Burden, Deputy Speaker Rosie Winterton, Alan Campbell, Alan Whitehead, Luke Pollard, Alex Norris, Bridget Phillipson, Shadow Housing Secretary John Healy, Nick Smith, Jenny Chapman, Lillian Greenwood, Graham Jones, Vicky Foxcroft, Kerry McCarthy, Vernon Coker, Bill Esterson, John Mann, Alex Sobel, Sandy Martin and even Albert Owen. The Welshest of MPs, plus Tory MPs Mark Menzies and Dandra Bridgen, HuffPost's Owen Bennett, Labour advisers Luke Sullivan, Michaela Neild, and her mum, Simon Puttick, Michael Daniel, Ben Nunn, and many more. The view from the rooftops, a lack of diary planning, or perhaps a lack of faith in England's prospects, saw the Tory Reform Group throw their annual summer party last night up on the 12th floor of the Park Plaza Hotel in Waterloo. It was more Love Island than liberal conservatism, with a rooftop bar, an outdoor pool and a house DJ knocking out Ibiza classics. Happily, the match was shown on big screens and the speeches squeezed into the 15-minute halftime break. Chairman Owen Meredith called for the Tory party to get behind Theresa May, telling the crowd, like most families, that Tories may have disagreements, but let's focus on those things that unite us. Guest speaker was Pensions Minister Guy Opperman, a last-minute stand-in for Jeremy Hunt, who was whisked away to NATO following his promotion. Also spotted were Tory party deputy chairman James Cleverly, again, backbench MPs Luke Graham, Kirsten Hare, John Lamont, Vicky Ford and Nigel Huddleston, former MP Ben Hallett, special advisor Amy Selman and former SP Adam Smith, Red Bull's Steph Reeves, Brunswick's James Baker, the US Embassy's Michael Martins, political journo's Maria Lacunte, Natasha Clark and Ben Gartside, and many more. Picks here. Next up, Sir Gareth Southgate. Expect a straight bat on this from Downing Street at the 11 a.m. lobby briefing, but it's only a matter of time. Here's the reception he got from fans last night. And here's his typically gracious interview with ITV after the match. In the meantime, England now play Belgium on Saturday afternoon in a meaningless playoff to see who comes third in the tournament. Not even Playbook will be watching that one. The World Cup final itself is on Sunday at 4 p.m. UK time, when Croatia take on red-hot favourites France. If they can overcome the odds, Croatia will be the smallest nation since Uruguay in 1950 to win the trophy. Here's what you could have had, the Sunday Times magazine you'll never see. And here's Matt, top class. A final thought, football really is coming home in 2020, when the semis and the final of the European Championships will be played at Wembley. Gareth Southgate's side will be 2 years older, and a lot more experienced, you never know. Some stuff that's not football. Trump whirlwind heads for Britain. Donald Trump arrives in Britain for the first time as US president today after berating America's closest allies at the NATO summit. The presidential jet Air Force One is due into London Stansted at around lunchtime, with Trump and wife Melania to be met on the tarmac by International Trade Secretary Liam Fox. Trump will then travel to the Grand Regent's Park residence of his ambassador to the UK, Woody Johnson, where police have erected a 9-foot steel fence to protect the president. This evening the Trumps will travel by helicopter to a grandiose banquet at Blenheim Palace, the ancestral home of Winston Churchill, attended by Theresa May and 150 business figures. Given there's no football on tonight, Playbook will also be there. Sleep tight, after the banquet Trump is due to spend his only night in London, back at Johnson's residence at Regent's Park. Anti-Trump activists are planning to gather as close as they can for an all-night Keep Trump Awake demonstration from 8 p.m. Protesters are encouraged to bring pots and pans, drums and vuvuzelas, The Times reports. In Westminster, spoof go-home vans will be driven round Parliament Square, while tonight a huge banner saying Trump, climate genocide will be unfurled along the opposite bank of the Thames. All this is just a precursor to far larger protests across London tomorrow, with tens of thousands of people set to take to the streets. Trump will be whisked out of the city as quickly as possible tomorrow morning to watch a special forces demonstration at Sandhurst, before flying to Chequers for a working lunch and a press conference with Theresa May. Not protesting, Nigel Farage, Steve Bannon, the Bow Group's Ben Harris Quinney and other pro-Trump right-wingers. Politico's Annie Carney reports the group met in a 5-star Mayfair hotel yesterday to discuss ways of showing a strong well of support exists in Europe for the divisive U.S. president. The Guardian's Peter Walker reports the Bow Group has now organized a welcome reception for Trump inside Parliament today, even though the president is not actually coming to SW1. Farage and Tory MP Daniel Kaczynski will be there. Details here. Trump's man in London, Woody Johnson, will be speaking at Chatham House this morning ahead of the Trump's arrival into the UK, but sadly under the Chatham House rule. Meanwhile in Brussels, first Trump has another session at the NATO summit this morning, having thrown the predicted cluster bomb at America's closest allies during yesterday's session. His demand that NATO's defense spending target be doubled makes the Times splash, while his attack on Germany's reliance on Russia gas makes the front of the Telegraph. Politico's Tom McTague is in Brussels, and this morning takes a longer look at just why Trump is so disliked by his European allies. The rot at the heart of the Western alliance is not the lack of spark between Trump and Theresa May, nor even his apparently visceral loathing of Angela Merkel, McTague writes. Boil it down and Trump represents everything his most important transatlantic allies have been forced to define themselves against, whether at home or in Europe at large. A picture worth a thousand words, so good. Incoming, sources in the Trump camp tell The Telegraph's Ben Reilly Smith that the president may publicly endorse a hard Brexit while here in the UK, which would not be ideal for Theresa May this week. Though presumably the Brexiteers will be quick to condemn such meddling from a US president if he does so. World of Brexit. Happy White Paper Day, Theresa May will publish her long-awaited Brexit White Paper this morning on Britain's future relationship with Europe. It will set out in detail the plan agreed at Chequers last week for an unwaveringly complex customs arrangement with the EU, and a deal to align with the bloc's rules and regs on goods. The document will be long and largely very dull, but politically its importance cannot be overstated. Rarely has a government white paper caused this much strife, triggering the resignations of two of the most senior members of the cabinet plus other prominent Tories to boot. Indeed, this is a white paper that could yet topple a prime minister, and even bring down the government. First read this, the PM makes the case in a full-page op-ed in The Sun. The message from number 10 to Sun readers is that the Chequers plan will end free movement, allow trade deals around the world and end the jurisdiction of European courts. I'm clear that the best outcome, for both the UK and the EU, is a deal based on the ideas we are setting out on Thursday, Mayer writes. Keep your distance, the FT's George Parker has the scoop on the four-page section on financial services, which he reports will propose a much looser relationship for the city with Brussels than at present. Theresa May has abandoned plans for a tight new relationship with the EU in financial services after Brexit, he reports. The new approach to the City of London's relationship with Brussels, which will mean less access to the European market for UK-based financial service groups, has been described by a person who has seen the paper as cohabiting, but without the same commitment as marriage. Alt. Option, Tory Brexit rebels plan to lay a humble address in Parliament to try to force the government to release an alternative white paper drawn up by David Davis while he was still in charge at Dexia, The Guardian's Heather Stewart reckons. A humble address is an archaic parliamentary process used successfully by Labour to force the release of internal government documents, though it would require a formal vote on the floor of the Commons to pass. Stewart reports, the abandoned draft set out something closer to a Canada-style trade deal. One source suggested the earlier draft was locked in a safe in the department for exiting the EU, and neither Davis nor his close aide Stuart Jackson appear to have retained a copy. Oops. Rebels without a clause. The move follows the decision of Tory rebels in the European Research Group, ERG, to trigger an all-out guerrilla war on the government by laying their own amendments to the customs bill next week, designed to wreck the Chequers' plan. The Sun got the scoop yesterday. However, the Times' Sam Coates reports the amendments are really designed as a show of strength to number 10, and have no chance of actually passing. Brexiteers know that none of these amendments will be passed into law, since Labour will not vote with the Tory rebels, he writes. The amendments are designed as a show of numerical strength to demonstrate how many Brexiteers are prepared to defy Mrs. May and the division lobbies, with some predicting upwards of 30 rebels. View from Labour, a shadow cabinet source tells Playbook, amendments are the sideshow. The real problem, for the government, is if the ERG vote with us against the bills at third reading. Red-hot rumor. Whispers circulating in Whitehall last night suggested the government is now considering delaying the customs and trade bills again, given the strength of feeling in the Tory ranks. We'll find out at 10:30 a.m. when the House business for next week is published. Civil war continues. Meanwhile, the Tory civil war continues, with angry op-eds in today's papers by former party vice chairs Maria Caulfield, in The Telegraph, and Ben Bradley, in The Mail. However, Theresa May's former chief of staff Nick Timothy urges MPs to back his former boss, using his own Telegraph column to describe the Chequers' plan as flawed but ultimately the least worst option available. Brexit story of the day, via the FT's Jim Pickard, who has seen an eye-catching Whitehall document assessing the impacts of no deal on the energy sector. thousands of electricity generators would have to be requisitioned at short notice and put on barges in the Irish Sea to help keep the lights on in Northern Ireland in the event of the hardest no-deal Brexit. According to one paper drawn up by Whitehall officials, he reports. This situation could come about because Northern Ireland has shared a single energy market with the Irish Republic for over a decade. But in the event of a totally disruptive rupture with the bloc, Whitehall officials fear that power providers in the Republic could end the provision of electricity, because the UK would no longer be part of the European electricity market. Brexit Diary, Environment Secretary Michael Gove takes an hour of questions in the Commons at 9:30 a.m. And Science Minister Sam Gyimah answers questions on Brexit and space, including the controversial Galileo project, before the Lords EU Internal Market Subcommittee at 1 p.m. Today in Westminster. Harassment, 6 months on, the BBC's Laura Kuensberg has re-interviewed some of the victims of sexual harassment in Westminster, 6 months after the scandal broke. The interviews are due to run on the BBC today. Speaker's Corner. Britain's most senior military officer Nick Carter, the Chief of Defence Staff, addresses the Air Power Conference in London this morning. Local Government Minister Rishi Sunak speaks at the SIPFA annual conference in Birmingham. Matthew Rickraft, Permanent Secretary at the Department for International Development, speaks at the Institute for Government at lunchtime on the future for UK aid. And former Chancellor Alistair Darling and former Tory leader Michael Howard speak at Policy Exchange this afternoon on the need for a carbon tax. Rail fail, congratulations to Southern Rail boss Mark Boone, who manages to land a page lead in almost every paper today after being photographed taking up two seats in first class on an overcrowded train while other passengers were forced to stand. Daily Mail version here. Burn of the day, from David Aronovich in The Times, who casually machine guns Labour frontbencher Barry Gardner while writing about Brexit. Labour's emphasis changes depending upon who you talk to, Aronovich writes. And whatever any of them say, it will eventually be contradicted anyway by the strangely sinister Shadow Trade Secretary Barry Gardner, whose soft-voiced reassurances always put me in mind of Harold Shipman. Oofed. A message from Airbus. Airbus and the European aerospace and defence industry fully support defence initiatives in Europe. It is essential that member countries and EU institutions harness the current political momentum to enhance cooperation in defence and contribute to a strong transatlantic relationship. This requires a willingness to cooperate, as well as the allocation of adequate resources to this strategic area. As the European Commission stated in its recent reflection paper on the future of European defence, enhancing European security is a must. We wholeheartedly agree. Airbus applauds NATO's nations for their support in the recent EU effort to strengthen European defence, making the first EU-wide defence projects a reality. Learn more here. Media Round. Today Programme, Labour MP Yvette Cooper, 7:10 a.m., Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab, 8:10 a.m. All Out Politics, Sky News, 10 a.m., NATO's former planning director Fabrice Pother, 10:10 a.m., LSE academic Brian Kloss and Sunday Times deputy political editor Caroline Wheeler review the newspaper comment sections. 10:20 a.m., academics Kathleen Burke, Leslie Vingemori and Matthew Flinders discuss Donald Trump. 10:30 a.m., former UKIP leader Nigel Farage. 11 a.m., former Trade Minister Digby Jones. 11:10 a.m., Lib Dem MP Leila Moran. 11:15 a.m., Tory MP Nigel Evans and Labour MP Bridget Phillipson debate Brexit, 11:30 a.m. Daily Politics, BBC Two, 12 p.m. Guardian columnist Owen Jones and the Institute of Economic Affairs Kate Andrews. Question Time, BBC One, 10:45 p.m. Broadcast tonight from Dartford in Kent, the only guest announced so far is Good Morning Britain presenter Piers Morgan, hopefully it's not just Piers on his own. Reviewing the papers tonight, BBC News. 10:40 p.m., broadcast journalist John Stapleton and Kate Proctor, political reporter for the London Evening Standard. Sky News, 10:30 p.m. and 11:30 p.m., Little Adams editor Padraig Greedy and Academy of Ideas director Claire Fox. Today's front pages. Click on the publication's name to see its front page. Daily Express, We Live the Dream, Thank You England. Daily Mail, Stop Using Tap Water on Your Garden. Daily Mirror, Heroes, We're Proud of You All. Financial Times, May Ditches Hope of Keeping City in Tight Tie-Up with EU After Brexit. HuffPost, They're coming home. Trump lands in the UK for Brexit trade talks. Metro, a kick in the Balkans. The Daily Telegraph, Germany controlled by Russian energy, says Trump. The Guardian, end of the dream, England out of the World Cup. The Sun, sorry, no front page to link to under the new regime. Rolling eyes face, they're coming home, but everyone's a hero. The Times, Trump tells NATO to pay double. On the continent, read what the rest of Europe's papers are saying in Politico's EU Press Review blog here, updated daily at around 8 a.m. Today's News Mags. New Statesman, The Brexit Farce, How the Brexiteers' Fantasy Finally Collided with Reality. Politico, Trump's European tour kicks off with a bang. The Spectator, Revolution. The real Brexit drama is just beginning. Beyond the M25. From Birmingham. A genuine scandal, must read piece by John Walker at the Birmingham Mail on how construction work at a major new hospital in the West Midlands has ground to a halt following the collapse of Carillion. The hospital was meant to be serving 500,000 people across Birmingham and the Black Country, but instead is standing unused and half-built. Construction is actually going backwards, Walker writes. The unfinished building is currently exposed to the elements, and that's causing damage which will need to be repaired. A cash injection is urgently needed from the government. It's a scandal, Walker writes. But there's little sign that anything's being done. Would this be allowed to continue if the hospital was in London, with an easy reach of Westminster Tube Station? From Scotland. Scottish immigration, Scotland's economy would be damaged by reduced immigration targets set by the UK government, STV reports. The Commons Scottish Affairs Committee recommends a scheme for seasonal agricultural workers, dropping students from net migration figures, and a Scotland-specific post-study work visa scheme, to prevent disruption to the nation's economy. From France. Le Pen drama, French right-wing politician Marine Le Pen is trying to rebrand her party, with limited success. The big problem for Marine Le Pen is that her last name is Le Pen. Even if she changed her name, she'll always be a Le Pen, says her opponent Igor Kurek. Politico's Kate Belongaro has the story. London culling. Westminster weather, sunny with clouds, sun, sunny with clouds, sunny spells for the first part of the day. A light breeze and clouds set in later, with temperatures reaching 26°C. Travel, presumably you know this by now, but the Piccadilly line strike is off. Congratulations to Lancaster and Fleetwood MP Kat Smith, who has given birth to baby Eli. Pick here, and to Sky News political editor Faisal Islam and wife Verity on the birth of their daughter. Pick here. Get well soon, former UK ambassador to the US Christopher Meyer, who is recovering in hospital after being attacked at Victoria Station. The Times has more. Happy birthday to Mid-Norfolk MP George Freeman, Tory peer Joanna Shields. Playbook couldn't happen without my editors Kate Day, Esther King, and Hannah Cochlear. Subscribe to the Politica newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico Pro Policy morning newsletters.